This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Every new year, we get obsessed with how to change ourselves instead of just expanding on what we're already doing right. Maybe you finally organized one part of your space and you want to tackle another. Or maybe you're taking your supplements every morning and now you want to actually eat breakfast too. Therapy can also help you build on what's working by helping you find your strengths so that you can ditch the extreme resolutions and make changes that really stick. I know firsthand how helpful it can be to learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. Therapy isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Celebrate the progress that you've already made. Visit BetterHelp.com/curiosities today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/curiosities.
Welcome to Aaron Mankey's Cabinet of Curiosities, a production of iHeartRadio and Grim and Mild.
Our world is full of the unexplainable. And if history is an open book, all of these amazing tales are right there on display, just waiting for us to explore. Welcome to the Cabinet of Curiosities.
Bob Nelson was born in Boston, Massachusetts in 1936. From the moment he let out his first cry, the cards were stacked against him. His father left. His mother struggled with substance abuse. His stepdad was a literal mob boss. With zero support or guidance, Bob dropped out of high school in the mid-1950s. He drifted around Boston before moving to Los Angeles, California, where he got a job as a television repairman. Bob liked to work, and he kept the job for years. And then in 1962, when he was 27 years old, something happened that changed the course of his life forever. He happened upon a book called The Prospect of Immortality. The title caught his eye, and he started reading. In the opening pages, the author, Dr. Robert Edinger, wrote, "Most of us now living have a chance for personal, physical immortality. We need only arrange to have our bodies, after we die, stored in suitable freezers against the time when science may be able to help us. Sooner or later, our friends of the future should be equal to the task of reviving and curing us." This idea became known as the theory of cryonics, and it must have come as quite a shock to Bob. Remember, this was 1962. There had never been a successful heart transplant before. The theory that a person could be frozen and brought back to life was less medical and more science fictional. But Bob, nearing 30 years old and not having much to show for it, desperately needed something to believe in. The prospect of immortality became his Bible. And he wasn't the only one. That same year, he saw a flyer for a meeting of the Cryonics Society of California. The prospect of immortality had made such a stir that people were actually organizing and trying to make the author's theory a reality. Bob made a note of the date and address. The night of the meeting, he was nervous. He later told a reporter, and I quote, "I remember going and thinking, I'm not going to be allowed in because I'm not a scientist. I went in and I came out voted president." Just like that, Bob found himself serving as a leader in a growing movement. He embraced his role, connecting with dozens of others who were as passionate about cryonics as him. There was just one problem. None of them were actual doctors or scientists. On the whole, the Los Angeles cryonics community was populated by self-identified futurists, people who were interested in technology that might arise in the future. They were basically a ragtag group of dreamers with a very loose grip on medical science. All their plans for freezing human bodies were purely theoretical. That is, until 1966. That year, a 73-year-old psychology professor named Dr. James Bedford joined the Cryonics Society of California. But he didn't plan on being a member for long. He was dying of kidney cancer, and he volunteered to be the first ever human cryonically frozen. The Cryonics Society agreed to Dr. Bedford's wishes. As morbid as it sounds, they were actually excited about the opportunity to make their dreams a reality. And they got to work right away. Bob contracted a company to build a cryonic capsule, which is basically a super insulated coffin, and started trying to source liquid nitrogen. But the society's plans quickly went awry. Dr. Bedford died much sooner than anticipated, weeks before the cryonic capsule was set to be finished and before they had any liquid nitrogen at their disposal. As the president of the Cryonic Society, this was Bob's problem to solve. Unsure what else to do, he contacted friends and neighbors, asking them for help. He scrounged up enough ice to fill the bed of his truck, and then he put Dr. Bedford's body inside and drove the corpse to a friend's house, where it stayed in a freezer for 3 weeks. Surely, this wasn't what the late professor had signed up for, but there was no turning back now. When the cryonic capsule was finally finished, Dr. Bedford was frozen right away, or at least the way the Cryonic Society thought was right. A mortician injected him with a medical-grade antifreeze, and a special machine pumped oxygen into his system. The liquid nitrogen still hadn't come in yet, so they lined the coffin with dry ice and put Dr. Bedford's body inside. For all its gore and imperfection, the Cryonic Society touted this as a success. Bob Nelson had led the world's first cryonic freeze, and he did it without so much as a high school diploma. The story inspired futurists worldwide, and more signed up to have their bodies preserved. Many of the attempts were total disasters, but around 500 people, including Dr. Bedford, remain frozen to this day, awaiting a future in which they might be resurrected. And while many modern scientists say cryonics is just wishful thinking, others believe there could be some truth to the theory. Just ask MIT graduate Robert McIntyre. In 2016, he successfully froze a rabbit and then brought it back to life. The rabbit was unable to make an official statement on the matter, but if Dr. Bedford is ever revived, I imagine that he'll be anxious for some conversation. Luckily, he won't have any problem breaking the ice.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Sometimes a mistake is like a pencil on paper. It's easy to erase. You can apologize, go back and fix your work, and do better in the future. But other times, one small oversight is like stepping on a landmine. It sends your whole life up into smoke. Just take the story of E. Forbes Smiley. Beginning in the 1980s, Smiley worked as an antique map dealer. A tall, well-dressed man with glasses and graying hair, he certainly looked the part. He specialized in rare maps with artistic or historical value, especially those from the American colonial era, and he was credited with assembling some of the most important map collections in North America. He often spent his days poring through the archives at esteemed institutions, like the British Library, the New York Public Library, and Harvard University. Smiley was extremely successful in his field. He owned multiple homes. He went on frequent lavish vacations. He had a vast network of friends in the art community, including wealthy clients and well-respected academics. All of this to say, when Smiley entered Yale University's Beinecke Rare Book and Manuscript Library on June 8th of 2005, the staff recognized him. They were happy to set him up with a table and a chair where he could sit and peruse a stack of books filled with rare maps. As he flipped through the pages, Smiley felt a tickle on his nose. He pulled a handkerchief out of his pocket and sneezed into it. He had no idea, though, that at that very moment, he had made a mistake that would ruin his career forever. When he was finished with the books, he got up, pushed in his chair, and waved goodbye to the librarian. She went to tidy up the table and noticed something on the floor. Right beside the chair that Smiley had been sitting on was the blade of an X-Acto knife. The librarian panicked. There was only one reason a person would bring something like that into the Beinecke. She ran to call security, and officers caught Smiley before he made it off campus. They searched the antique dealer's briefcase, and inside they found three rare documents, one of which was extremely significant. It was the first ever North American map to label Plymouth, Massachusetts, and it was made by Captain James Cook. This paper alone is estimated to be worth more than $150,000, and Smiley had cut it right out of those library books. He probably would have gotten away with it too, if not for that sneeze. When he reached into his pocket for his handkerchief, he accidentally dropped the blade of his X-Acto knife onto the floor. Talk about a fatal mistake. E. Forbes Smiley was promptly arrested. A further search of his briefcase revealed even more rare documents. When he went to trial in 2006, Smiley admitted to stealing at least 97 maps from six different institutions, worth a total of about $3 million. As for why he did it, well, apparently the successful antique dealer had accumulated quite a bit of debt. His lavish lifestyle was bought on credit, and he found himself unable to make the necessary payments. So he took to nabbing rare maps and selling them quickly at a massive profit. Because many of the documents he'd stolen had already been sold, collectors were forced to return items that they had paid tens of thousands of dollars for. According to the judge, though, Smiley was very remorseful. After the ruse was up, he made the effort to return as many stolen maps as possible and agreed to pay $2.3 million in restitution. Because of this, he was only sentenced to 3.5 years in prison. These days, Smiley is once again a free man, but his time in the antique business is definitely over. He now works as a web designer and landscaper on Martha's Vineyard, keeping relatively low profile. It's obvious that E. Forbes Smiley made some very bad choices, but I think he'd prefer to say that he simply lost his way. He fell off the map for a while, and now, hopefully, he's back on the right path.
I hope you've enjoyed today's guided tour of the Cabinet of Curiosities. Subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or learn more about the show by visiting curiositiespodcast.com. This show was created by me, Aaron Mankey, in partnership with How Stuff Works. I make another award-winning show called Lore, which is a podcast, book series, and television show, and you can learn all about it over at theworldoflore.com. And until next time, stay curious.